A pair of siblings off on their own, discovering the outside world. A 6 and a 10-year-old play in a park just 2.5 blocks from their house in Silver Spring, Maryland. This is a job apparently for the police, who for the second time in 4 months have taken them into custody, picked up by local police.
CPS has finally succeeded in making Terrified to let my kids out unsupervised because I'm afraid they're going to take them away.
That's their mother, Danielle Maytief, after they were finally released on Sunday. Maytief told the Washington Post that she and her husband, far from not parenting their children, in fact believe their approach to independence is their parenting philosophy.
It means we're giving our children the childhood that we had, the idea that kids can be trusted to go down the block, to play at the park, to walk home from school.
The Maytiefs are in the middle of a debate about parenting, risk, and the changing expectations of supporting and supervising kids. Peter Gray spoke with Danielle Maytief earlier this week. He's the author of Free to Learn, Why Unleashing the Instinct to Play Will Make Our Children Happier, More Self-Reliant, and Better Students for Life. He's a professor of psychology at Boston College.
We are increasingly restricting children's freedom. We are not trusting children. We're not believing that they're competent to look out for themselves, as we once believed. You know, in fact, my historical research on this question suggests that there's really never been a time or place in history, aside from times of slavery and intense child labor, when children have been less free than they are today in our society. This is a very, very serious issue.
Now, it seems to have been something of a slippery slope in the sense that when I was a little kid, there was the look both ways before you cross the street. But once you got across the street, you were pretty much in open domain and playgrounds were safe. And, you know, there weren't vans running around getting ready to pick people up and take them off to God knows what. But it seems as though outside of the street, there's also a sense of menace.
There's very much a sense of menace among parents. In fact, the crime rate is way down. The crime rate against children is way down compared to, say, the 1970s. The kinds of things that people are afraid of, abduction or murder or molestation of your child by a stranger when your child is outdoors, these are very, very rare. But of course, whenever they occur, and they do sometimes occur, I mean, people get hit by lightning too, we all hear about it. And so we think it's much more common than it really is. And what we fail to realize is that in the very act of what we think of as protecting our children from the dangers out there in the world, we are in fact putting them at great risk of psychological problems as they develop, of anxiety, of depression, of lack of sense of control over their own lives. When we don't allow children the opportunity to have the kinds of adventures and free play that they really need for their healthy development, they don't develop emotionally and socially as healthy as they otherwise would.
Does this explain why kids are staying in strollers much longer and you see 5- and 6-year-olds in strollers rather than walking around, more autonomously?
Well, I think at that end of the age scale, that's part of it. But it also explains some other things. You know, over the past 60 years, we've seen a continuous increase in childhood psychopathology of all sorts. And it's not just that we are seeing it because we didn't look for it before. Even by standard clinical questionnaires that have been unchanged over the years, given to normative groups, the rate of what would be called major depression is now 7 to 8 times what it was in the 1950s. And this has been a continuous increase. The rate of anxiety disorders is likewise something like 5 to 8 times what it was in the 1950s. We have whole new disorders, ADHD and so on and so forth. You know, in my book, I explain why these are exactly what you would expect to occur if children are not allowed to play and explore and develop the kind of confidence that comes from that sort of freedom. You know, we also are seeing among college students an increased number of college students who are just not prepared for college. Not that they're not academically prepared, but they're not socially and emotionally prepared for it. And that comes, you know, if we overprotect kids, we take care of them, we coddle them, and we don't allow them the freedoms that they need to develop, then they grow up into young adults who are not prepared for the kind of independence that's required when you leave home.
What do you think the stigma is for parents who get cast as neglectors, whether it's appropriate or not?
Yeah, well, this is an interesting question. And, of course, the Mitiv case is a sort of test case going on right now. These parents in Maryland, a suburb of Washington, D.C., who have been threatened with having their children taken away. These are professional parents. They're scientists. They love their children. They're very caring of their children. But they believe that their children, who are 10 and 6 years old, can go out and play in the park. It's very safe. And they've actually been threatened with having their children taken away from them. This is traumatic to have this happen. This is the kids are frightened not by the strangers but by the police who picked them up and kept them in a squad car for a period of time, brought them home, threatened their father. You know, that's far more traumatic than anything these kids have experienced out there playing in the park. And they're also, if we are afraid of these problems, and instead of not allowing our kids out, we better solve the problems. If we really think it's not safe out there, we need to do something to make it safe, because it's not appropriate that we, as a society, say children are no longer allowed in public places without being supervised and directed by adults. It's just not appropriate to say that. This is a whole new thing in the history of humanity to say that children are not allowed outdoors on their own playing with other children. This is what children are designed to do. This is how children learn the skills, the emotional and social skills that they need to grow in a healthy way. And if we're saying that it's so dangerous out there that we're not allowing kids to do that, that's a serious problem that we've got to solve.
Well, Peter Gray, author of Free to Learn, Why Unleashing the Instinct to Play Will Make Our Children Happier, More Self-Reliant, and Better Students for Life. He's a professor of psychology at Boston College. Thanks so much.
You're very welcome.
So do we chill like the Métis, or is the world just too dangerous for kids to play outside alone? Joanne writes on Facebook, there is a difference between living in a rural area or a suburb and living in a city. I played outside by myself most of the time when we lived in the country. But when we lived in the city, my parents didn't let me run around. You have to use common sense. I know it's fashionable to think that abductions don't happen, but they do. Look up the sex trafficking and organized crime data for your city.
This is Robert from Salt Lake City. I think it is just as safe to play outside now as it was when we were growing up, and probably even more so. It's just a question of statistics and whether you can accept what the numbers show us, or if you are biased by the extreme examples that get everyone's attention.
Kerry from Portland, Oregon. I think the biggest problem is helicopter parenting. Really, back when we were young, you know, I'm 52 now, we go out and play and, you know, come home when the streetlights come on, that sort of thing. So you go out and you discover the world and you figure it out, and that's how you become a competent human being.
Let us know what you think. 8778-MY-TAKE, that's our number. Great discussion going on our Facebook page, www.facebook.com/thetakeaway.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.